Jonah chapter 2, and the title of our message today is Salvation is of the Lord. Hear the word of God. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this portion of your word, and we pray that you would direct it to our hearts and lives, that we would be strengthened in our faith in you as our Savior and Lord. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you were drowning? I know that happened to me at one point in my life. I was at camp, and I was getting out into the deep end of the lake, and all of a sudden I panicked. I felt like I couldn't keep going, and I started screaming and yelling. Fortunately, the lifeguard on the dock heard my call and was there in a flash, was able to calm me down and get me back to where I needed to be, get me back to safety. As we come to this chapter in the book of Jonah chapter 2, we come to a chapter that's somewhat different from the rest of this little book, in that it's a prayer and a psalm of Jonah as he recounts how the Lord took care of him in a near-death experience where he almost drowned, where he almost was lost. It's a portion of God's word that has great application to us as we live our lives before him, as through the ups and the downs of our lives, when there are times when we feel so overwhelmed that we really wonder, is the Lord there for us at all? Because what we have here is Jonah's account of coming close to drowning, of his own near-death experience. And what makes it even worse is that as you look at this psalm, Jonah is recounting what he went through, drowning, almost drowning, at the hand of God himself. He says there in verse 3, "You hurled me into the deep." In verse 4, "I have been banished from your sight." Now, we've been studying this story of Jonah and the fish in the book of Jonah in this little mini-series, and but when you look at chapter 2, there's hardly any mention of the fish at all. It seems that Jonah is just kind of sloshing around in the water. And the last minute, the fish, the Lord sends the fish to sweep him up. He was overwhelmed. And this was all a result of the fact that he had drawn away from the Lord. He had disobeyed and gone the other way, completely opposite from what the Lord wanted him to do. And as a result, he relates his experience of what happened as the Lord drew away from him. And so this isn't just relating of an experience of a drowning man, but it's an experience that we all go through at different times in our lives, and yet how in the end the Lord, cornerstone is faithful God and our sovereign Lord, rescued and restored this man who was his prophet from the start. And once again, Jonah, the man of God, learned to rely on the Lord for life itself. And so I would suggest the theme for this psalm comes from verse 8, where we read, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." And we want to simply ask the question this morning of this psalm, who or what are you clinging to in your life? To what do you cling? Are you clinging to worthless idols? And let's say right up front, yes, we are. That's the lifelong struggle of our lives, isn't it? And Jonah, as he's recording this prayer, might have been remembering the cries of the sailors in the ship as that storm is breaking over them, that perfect storm. And these experienced seamen are at a total loss of what to do. And so all they could do is cry out to their gods. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own god. Here these were, these experienced seamen, and yet they're helpless and ineffective. And yet as you think about those sailors crying out in the panic for their very lives, it's not that unfamiliar. Because the cries of these pagan sailors is not much different from what we hear all around us today. And in this age, it's so open, isn't it? And so enlightened, and so tolerant. What do people say? Well, just call on whatever God, or whatever tradition that you want to call on, right? And it's all kind of vague as to what people believe anymore. Don't really want to get down to specifics. That gets to be a little dicey, doesn't it? But, you know, whatever works for you. Whatever gets you through the day, that's all that matters. And even worse, that in our intelligent and enlightened age, people still hold on to superstitions, don't they? Rabbit's feet, you know. And if you listen, they interview the athletes that are in the midst of a tournament or a playoff or a winning streak. What do you hear from those athletes? Well, I was wearing my lucky hat today. You know, I keep wearing the same jersey that I've been wearing the whole time. Every time we win, I wear the same jersey. I put things on. I do things the exact same way just to keep this streak going. Sadly to say, I've heard of one of our presidential candidates that keeps a lucky coin in his pocket. It's just another example of the superstitions that people hold dear. And so it's no wonder that Jonah here at the conclusion of this psalm realized that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace of God that could be theirs. Well, Jonah came to realize this after he had been clinging to a few worthless idols himself. And we always have to keep in mind that Jonah was a man of God. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. And what were the idols that he was clinging to? Well, how did Jonah end up at the bottom of the sea in the first place? He'd been running away from God, right? Going his own way, doing his own thing, exactly the opposite from what the Lord had wanted him to do. And I would suggest to you that that is at the very heart of our idolatry. It's putting our own thoughts and our own desires first instead of the Lord. And that's the constant call that the Lord has upon us, what we sang about this morning. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And yet, what do? Anything else but, right? We try and figure it out for ourselves. We try to go our own way. Prayer is the last resort in our lives, or it should be the first. We still want to figure it out for ourselves. That was Jonah's problem from the start. But Jonah also had another problem, another idolatry that he was clinging to, and that was his own people, the Jews. The chosen people of God, weren't they? The special people that God had chosen from the time of Abraham, that He had raised up, that He had blessed, that He had brought into the promised land, that He brought them through so much. Somehow they kept forgetting that they were chosen for a purpose, that they were chosen to proclaim the blessing, the salvation of God, and to bring blessing to the nations. That Abraham wasn't just the father of a nation, he would be the father of a multitude of nations that would go out from the nation of Israel. And so they were raised up, they were chosen to bring blessing to the nations and not to keep it to themselves. But you see, that was Jonah's problem as well as the problem of the Jews. It was certain exclusivity, a certain nationalism. And that's why he ran away from God as far as he could get. And so you look at Jonah, and we look at ourselves, and we have to say, what worthless idols are we clinging to? Well, all sorts of idols, and we're doing it all the time. And we always have to keep working at prayerfully peeling them away and relying on the Lord. And we cling to money, don't we? Or at least the security that money brings. Now, some of us cling to looks, or at least maintaining that ideal weight so that we can fit in and be accepted. And that's another idol, isn't it? Being accepted by people. And status. Having a certain position in the world, in our lives. Those are the kind of things that we must overcome. We must overcome, not be overcome by evil, but we must overcome evil with good. And then, like Jonah himself, we cling to one another, don't we? You know, that's a good thing, isn't it? Loving one another. Pray for one another, weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. But it kind of gets to the extreme when you look at things like Jonah did as being the select few, the chosen people, separate from everyone else. We kind of get cozy and comfortable with one another as we cling to one another and consequently forget about everybody else out there. Everybody else that so desperately needs the Lord, so desperately needs what we have to offer to them. And so this clinging to worthless idols is a constant battle that we must put off every day as we begin the day with the Lord. And we all know too well what the consequences are as we continue to pursue that course, as we continue to cling, as Jonah puts it there in verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. What greater thing is there to forfeit than the grace of God? It's just a reminder that there are consequences for our actions. Our sins will find us out. You know, ask any child who has a mom and dad that loves them, a mom and dad that's committed to them. Disobedience has its consequences. And this is clearly what Jonah experienced, what Jonah went through because of what Jonah, first of all, brought on himself. Jonah was responsible. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace of God that could be theirs. And that's what Jonah realized that he'd almost done. I like the way the RSV translates verse 8. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their true loyalty. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their true loyalty. In other words, if we persist, if we pursue these desires, this lifestyle, this longing for anything else by God, then that's what we're going to get. We forsake the loyalty that is true, the loyalty of the Lord our God. And we'll have no one to blame for but ourselves as we give in, as we refuse to turn back to the light and are drawn away from our first love. Well, while we must acknowledge that what happened to Jonah is something that he brought on himself. At the same time, we can't overlook the reality that everything that happened to Jonah is what was brought on Jonah by the Lord. And that in fact, as you meditate on this psalm, the Lord is behind it all. And Jonah acknowledges that a couple of times. He says in verse 3, "You hurled me into the deep." And in verse 4, "I have been banished from your sight." It was the Lord that did all this. And so as you think about your walk with the Lord, think back to those different times in your life, and the low times as well as the good times. Has that ever been your experience? You know, a time when the Lord seemed distant from your life. You felt like your prayers were not being heard for whatever reason. There was a dryness, as the old saints used to talk about, that you've gone through in your life. You felt like you were drowning, like you were overwhelmed. That no matter how much you cried out to the Lord, and he seemed to just turn a deaf ear. The writers of our confession describe it this way, how the Lord withdraws the light of his countenance. So the psalmist says, "Night and day your hand was heavy upon me. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and you hide your face from me?" Has that ever been your experience? Have you ever gone through a kind of spiritual drought in your life, in your walk with the Lord, and it didn't seem to be present? Well, I'd like to suggest to you, first of all, that there's one comfort we have, even from what we just read, that you and I are not the only ones. That what the psalmist went through repeatedly, and you can read that almost every page of the book of Psalms, and that what Jonah went through as he cries out to God here in Jonah chapter 2 is what many of us as Christians have gone through in our lives. And we don't, when we get the experience that God doesn't seem to hear, and we plead for his relief, and no relief is in sight. As you read this chapter, Jonah chapter 2, you really get the sense that Jonah is knocking on death's door. Verse 2, "From the depths of the grave I called for help." I like the way the King James translates that. "From the belly of hell I cried out to the Lord." Jonah was literally knocking on death's door. He was drowning, and the only thing that was going to save him was that fish. This past weekend when I was on call and was called out those couple of times, I was involved with five different persons, five different lives that are now in the presence of the Lord. And for most of them, I had spent a little time with them and with their families and gotten acquainted a little bit. And there was this one particular individual who was exactly 1 year older than myself, born on the same birthday, but a year earlier. And shortly after I shared words of comfort with him from the 23rd Psalm and John 3:16, this young man entered into the presence of his Lord. And I heard later from his son how my words brought comfort to him. And I had to leave. I went to another call, but shortly after I left, the Lord called him to himself. And I had the privilege of ministering the gospel in a celebration of service of celebration, really, for this individual as he came before the Lord. Five times over this past weekend, I was involved with families that are struggling. This coming Tuesday, I have another service to give for a very young man. Pray for me as I have that opportunity to minister the grace and the hope that the Lord gives to us. But when you go through things like this, it really makes you think, doesn't it? And it makes you realize, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what we have brought on ourselves. And ultimately, we have to say in the providence of God what the Lord has brought on us. But thank God, that is not the end of the story, is it? You see, Jonah wrote this psalm, he composed this prayer when he was safe on the shore. He was not writing in the belly of the fish, okay? This is all in retrospect. This is a recounting of what he was crying out to the Lord while he was in the depths of the sea. And he is now rejoicing in the Lord's deliverance as the Lord heard and answered his prayer. And so Jonah is rejoicing that in spite of what he brought on himself, and in spite of what the Lord brought on him, still the Lord delivered him because of what the Lord brought on the Lord. You get that? Not only what Jonah brought on himself, not only what the Lord brought on Jonah, but what the Lord brought on himself. Because the good news of Jonah chapter 2 is that Jonah's experience was eventually God's experience. That what Job went through is what the Lord himself would go through also. And once again, we have in this little book buried here in the Old Testament, the good news. The gospel. What we have here in Jonah 2 is Good Friday that leads to the good news of Easter that we will soon celebrate. And we can see that as we look again at this Psalm of Jonah, this prayer. Does it sound familiar, what he says here, how he cries out to the God, out to the Lord? Well, it ought to, because it has a familiar ring to Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 begins this way, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? You see, this is what makes this such good news for us, is that what Jonah brought on himself, and really what Jonah deserved, and what we bring on ourselves, and what we know that we deserve, is what our Heavenly Father brought on His own dear Son. Right? What I reminded this young man of just last Friday night. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God so loved us that He gave His only Son. The good news is that what the Lord brought on His Son that He didn't deserve. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, this is why our Lord Jesus could so confidently make this direct connection between Himself and Jonah. We mentioned this last week, that both men, both prophets were from Galilee. Jesus was from Nazareth and Jonah was from a town that wasn't too far away. And Jesus may very well have walked over to the town of Jonah. And so, in his ministry, he makes this direct connection between himself and the prophet when he says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And Jonah was the only prophet from the Old Testament with whom the Lord Jesus made this kind of direct connection. What are we clinging to? Every day the Lord calls us to quit clinging to everything else and to keep on clinging to Him over and over again. This is the call of the gospel upon us, upon people like Jonah, people like you and me who know the Lord's will and yet go in the completely opposite direction. How do we do that? How do we cling to the Lord? Well, again, Jonah shows us the way. He says there in verse 7, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, O Lord." That's what was happening to this young man the other night. His life was literally ebbing away. As I shared with him For God so loved the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How do we remember the Lord? Do I need to remind you? We remember the Lord in His Word. We remember what Paul says. Remember Jesus Christ, descendant of David, raised from the dead. This is my gospel. This is the good news. This is what we cling to, isn't it? Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. And then we can offer the sacrifice of praise that Jonah speaks of. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. The lives that we live before Him in praise for all that the Lord has done for us. As we remember that our salvation from beginning to end comes from Him. As Jonah concludes there, what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And so we need to keep in mind that the only reason that any of us cling to the Lord, the only reason that any of us remember the Lord, is because the Lord remembers us. That the Lord is clinging to us. Well, finally, I'd just like to remind us that the main way that you and I cling to the Lord is exactly how Jonah did. It's by prayer. That's what this is. It's the prayer of Jonah crying out to the Lord for his deliverance. Verse 2, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. And at the conclusion of the prayer we have there in verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And so Jonah prayed to the Lord, despite the reality that he knew he had been banished by God, despite the fact that he did not know the presence of the Lord. He still cried out to God. He continued to cling to the Lord in the midst of his utter despair. He prayed and cried out to the Lord, and now he can praise God because the Lord heard and answered and responded to his prayer. That's what we need to do, isn't it? We struggle in our lives. We feel overwhelmed. We cling to our idols. And we all just need to be reminded that just like Jonah, we need to keep clinging to the Lord as we pray to the Lord, as we cry out to the Lord. And not only for ourselves, not only for our individual lives, but for the congregation of His people. What is it that's going to keep our little ship afloat? It's only the prayers of God's people, prayers that have gone up generation after generation, prayers that must continue to go up as we cling to the only one who that can see us through. And we realize again that salvation comes from the Lord. Well, as I left that home on Friday night, driving off to support another family, after I had that opportunity to share the simple promises of God with this young man as his life was ebbing away. It was starting to get dark. As I was driving along, I saw that old lighthouse up there on 13. You know, that old black lighthouse? And for the very first time in all the years I've been living in Middletown, I saw that light beaming across to the distant river, showing the way to any ship that might be coming by. For the very first time, I saw that light. I didn't think about it too much as I drove on my way, but in my heart, I had a feeling, I sensed that as the evening was darkening, that the Lord was reassuring me of His light that shines into the darkness as lies are ebbing away. Because what is this ministry mainly about that the Lord has given me? It's a ministry of prayer. It's a ministry of calling upon the Lord and reminding people of the promises of God at this time in their lives. So as we go through our lives, as we have those good times, as we have those times when we feel like Jonah, the call of the Lord is still the same. It's to cling to Him. It's to cry out to Him. and to know that our salvation is of the Lord. Let us pray.